Come on, is that the best you can do for the Lord? Come on, more. Give him glory. Amen. I want to thank Matthew Holt and Lanny and everybody that was involved in taking those pictures. They did a fantastic job. Amen. It was awesome. Let's pray as we begin today. Lord, we see what you did that day, and we are awed. We pray that for all of the seeds that were planted that day, we pray that you will send people to water those seeds. And we pray, Father, for not only that you were glorified, that you will continue to protect the unity of the churches here in Manchester and Coffee County. We pray this will spread like wildfire to other counties. We pray for revival in our land. We pray for revival to begin right in our backyard, Father. We pray that you will protect our unity from the evil one. And Lord, as we talk about fellowship today and improving in areas of fellowship in our body here at Forest Mill, we ask that your Spirit will teach us. We invite your Holy Spirit to teach us today, to draw us to yourself and to work on those areas, Father, that we need to work on as a body. And we ask that you be glorified, Father, as you were that day at the convoy event. We pray that Spirit will continue in this church and in all the churches that were part of what you did that day. We love you. We give you glory for all things. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of what you're doing here. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get started today, I just wanted to introduce a friend of mine. Mark Berryman is from East Africa. He's with us. He's a missionary there. He's here visiting with us today, and we're going to be talking with him later. But I just wanted to, Mark, just raise your hand and just give him a round of applause and a hug today for what God's doing in East Africa. He's working, going to be working in central Tanzania, where we worked in northern Tanzania. He's going to be working in central Tanzania, taking Kenyan evangelists, missionaries that are going to be supported by their own churches in Kenya. They're going to be going down into central Tanzania among the Datuga people. No churches down there. They're going to be starting churches among the people there. It's going to be awesome to see what God does there. Amen? All right, so let's talk about fellowship today. Life aboard the fellowship. You should have an outline nearby you. If you're visiting with us today, make sure that whenever you see a yellow word that's underlined, you want to fill that in the blank there. That's your cue. And so let's talk about how we can improve our fellowship. We've been talking about kind of this idea of glorifying God. That's going to be the filter that we do everything through from this point forward. Does this bring glory to God? Does this magnify him, make him look good in our community? And wow, look at the time. I've really preached a long time today, man. It's 11:40. Just kidding. We didn't put it back. We're going to be talking today about how we can improve our fellowship. What can we do better? I don't know about you, but I want to move beyond where we are. It's easy to get stale. It's easy to get to stay in one place. And I think all of us are in agreement that we want to keep seeking God. We want to be closer to God. We want to be glorifying him especially in our assembly. Now, you cannot have a vertical relationship with God without having a horizontal relationship with people. Now, I know you're laughing because last week I said horizontal. And somebody I love so much told me that's not how it's pronounced, Chris. That's how, you know, I was at a church in Arkansas one time and I said, I was up speaking, and I said, Jesus used hyperbole when he taught. Hyperbole is the way you pronounce it. Horizontal is how we refer it. Okay, so the point is you cannot have your walk with God, a vertical walk with God, without his people. They work together. And I'm sorry if you struggle with that. That's the way it is. Get over it. That's the way God designed it. And he designed it for a good reason this way. This is where you and I learn how to love each other.
by learning to love each other. We learn how to forgive. We learn how to work through our differences. We learn to work through everything in the body of Christ. And yes, churches sometimes can be difficult. We get hurt. People say things to us. But we learn to forgive. And in doing that, we become closer to God. We become closer to each other. That's the way God designed it. God created us to grow in community because God is communal. He is a community himself. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So we all know this passage from Acts 2. In the beginning of the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. And my point of using this text this morning is, are we as devoted to studying his word as we are to fellowshipping? Because notice how they're together here. And there's a reason behind that. In our fellowship, in our midst, that's the where we learn about God and his word, together. The interesting word for fellowship, koinonia, it's very simple. It means sharing our common life together. Sharing, participating, communing, where you get the idea of communion. All those things have to do with fellowshipping. It's sharing our lives. And I always like the idea of picturing a ship. You know, Max Lucado said in one of his books about, you know, life aboard the fellowship is like a ship where you all are living together and you have to learn how to get along with one another. It's kind of the same idea of koinonia, sharing our common life together. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, many personalities, many gifts, many, many different parts in this room right now. Each of us have a part. Each of us have a place here. Don't ever come to church. Don't ever think that you are not a part of what God is doing here. Everyone has a place to serve. We all belong to each other. We belong to each other. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We can't make it without one another. And I find it interesting, in the New Testament, 58 times the word one another is used. It's to love, it's to care for, it's to encourage one another, honor one another, be devoted to one another, support one another, pray, greet, share, all those things. God is serious about this one another thing. And I love the song Tommy sang, that love one another. That is such a powerful, to look at your faces. This is the body of Christ. We are family here. We're family. There's no lone rangers. God didn't design you to be a Christian by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. And I know a lot of people have been deeply hurt. Maybe you have been deeply hurt by a church in your past. Maybe they said some nasty things to you, or somebody said something that, you know, or broke your heart, and you struggle with trusting, and I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm really sorry. The church is not perfect. It's full of sinners. This is a hospital. We're all getting patched up. And we all say and do things sometimes that we don't mean to do. That we need to say, you know, I'm sorry. And at the end of the message today, and I wanted to tell you this ahead of time so that you kind of know what to think. And please understand me. I don't want anybody to feel like they're pressured into doing anything today. You don't have to participate and do this. We're all going to stand up at the end, and we're going to take 3 minutes. And I want you just to find somebody in this church today. Maybe you know they've been going through a very difficult time. Maybe you know they've been struggling with an illness or having a problem in their home, or maybe you just want to say, you know, I appreciate you. I appreciate the good job that you're doing, and whatever you want to share to edify, encourage that person. We need to do those types of things. And if you're visiting with us today, I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable, but we're going to love on you. We're going to appreciate your presence here as well. And I want to encourage us, and we're going to do that for a few minutes, and then Tommy's going to pull us back, and then we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together and celebrate giving to the Lord at that time. I think it's important, though, that we We work on fellowshipping, sharing our common lives together. So fellowship is doing that very thing. And there's levels of communication. When you talk about fellowship, there's different levels of communication. Obviously, the surface type of communication is, you know, hey, how's the weather? You know, isn't it cold today? And da da da. And wasn't that a great game yesterday? And you know, those are very surface level conversations that we have. Often we'll get into the personal level. You know, we may decide, you know, to get a little closer to somebody, and we'll say, you know, hey, how's the job going? And how's your child? And I heard you guys were sick, and you know, everything. But you know, what's really sad, family, is we never really, a lot of times, get past the personal. And I hate to break your heart today, but that's not fellowship. Fellowship is not just talking about the game and talking about the job and talking about the child. There's so much more involved in fellowship. Fellowship has a spiritual element in it. And what it is, it's being transparent with the person that you're talking with. It's saying, hey, you can talk about the game, you can talk, but then I think it's important for us to talk about our lives. I've had a rough week this week. I lost my job. I'm struggling. It really bothers me that people come in here with problems and they leave with their problems. And they don't feel like they're in a place where they can share what is really going on in their hearts and lives. God designed it so that we would share our lives together. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired. I want to get beyond the I'm okay, you're okay, and I'm fine, and how's your way? I'm fine. And let's be real. Let's take off the mask and say, you know what? I've had a bad week this week. Oh, well, what can I talk with you about? Well, what can I pray for you about? It would be great to see more of that here. I would love to see people in prayer huddles praying with each other. And it happens from time to time here. But we need more of that. And when somebody comes to you and said, I need your prayers about something, stop what you're doing right there. If it's in the grocery store, if it's in Walmart, if it's on the street, stop what you're doing and pray with that person right then and there. Because obviously, if they're telling you, I need your prayers about something, they're needing it right now. And you know what we often do is we say, yeah, I'll pray about it. And then what do? We forget. We get busy, get distracted. God wants us to move beyond the game and the weather and how's the job going. And he wants us to get transparent with each other. Why can't we get past it? I think it's fear. What are we so afraid of? What are you afraid? Somebody's going to find out who you really are? Are you going to find out, oh, you know, Chris is not the person I thought he was? Well, yeah, you're right. I am a sinner saved by grace. I have been saved because of the cross of Jesus Christ. I am not a perfect person. I am a sinner. I make mistakes. Does anybody in this place have it all together? No, thank you. So what are you afraid of? Oh, I don't want to be perceived as a weak person. You are weak. I don't want people to get into my business. Well, they're going to know anyway. Why can't we just be real? Because true fellowship does not happen until I step over that fear factor and start sharing my life with other people. It doesn't have to be with everybody. One person. One person you're close to here. Share with them a burden you're going through right now. Commit to pray for that person. If a church is not doing that, it's a It's a country club. It's not a fellowship. Fear is our greatest struggle that we have. Because we don't want to let down our guard. We don't want to take off the mask. Because we got a reputation to keep up, don't we? Well, I'm not ashamed to say I struggle. And you shouldn't be either. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You hear what God is saying in verse 6? He says, if I claim that me and God are tight, me and God got a relationship, we got a fellowship going on. I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus. But I walk in the darkness if my lifestyle is not going God's way. He says, you're a liar. You don't live by the truth. But if my lifestyle is going in the light, if it's going God's way, there's two beautiful things that happen. Look what happens. If I'm walking in the light as you're walking in the light, we have fellowship. We've got something in common. We got something we're sharing. And the blood of Jesus purifies me. It purifies you. As I continue to walk in the light as he is in the light, as my lifestyle is going God's way, as I confess my sins daily to the Lord, God's precious son's blood washes me daily. Just like you're in a shower. God is washing you clean daily. Fellowship and sin are all in the same sentence. Good people, stop being so afraid to be real. The other thing that we can't get past is trust. I can't share what I'm going through right now. I'm afraid it's going to get around. I'm afraid it's going to get around. You know what? True fellowship means that you're going to have to take risks. It means you're going to have to take some risks at points in your life in order to have true fellowship. What do you got to hide? Are you still worried about what people think about you? Are you more worried about what God thinks about you? See, God already knows your sin and he still loves you. His people will love you too. I guarantee you, anybody in this place would come up here and share something that they have done, we all would say, we still love you. We don't think any less of you. If any of you came up to me afterwards or any of the elders or shepherds and started sharing things that you're wrestling and struggling, we wouldn't reject you. We would love you. Whom should we share fellowship with? I guess that's a good question to ask. Because I guess we can't share it with everybody. Because, I mean, if we're going to walk in the light as he is in the light, yeah, I need to have fellowship with people that are doing that. And I give God glory for how this church, we fellowship with 22 other different denominations in this town. And in the name of Jesus Christ, served over 4,000 people. That glorified God. That made God look so good to this community. We should fellowship with those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen? Even though I may have differences of opinion about certain things, and they may have, our common unity is in Jesus. So whom should we fellowship with? Well, we need to choose carefully with whom and with what we fellowship. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? This phrase, to be unequally yoked, is a very important understanding that we need to have. A yoke is a wooden object that two oxen will have in order to plow up the ground. And Paul is giving a powerful picture of an unbeliever and an unbeliever walking together. And he's saying, look how darkness can influence light if we're not careful. That's a powerful imagery. Very, very powerful imagery. So the point we're trying to make today is that fellowship means making wise choices about who my friends are. I need to choose carefully who I hang with. Now, I'm the first to say every Christian needs at least five unbelievers in their life that they know. We're talking about fellowship. We're talking about somebody that you are very close to and you're sharing your life with them. You're very close to them. I think there's a point with an unbeliever, we've got to be very careful. I think we need friends in our lives, but we need to be careful. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Very true statement. And young people, I can't tell you enough the importance of who you choose as your friends. And adults as well. So choose your friends wisely when it comes to this idea of fellowship. Are you going to walk that close with somebody and share your life with them? You have to be very careful with who you choose as friends. Secondly, choose your marriage partner wisely. I cannot tell you the amount of people that have come to me and said, you know, I should not have married that person. They were not a Christian. I thought they were, and man, it has been a disaster. Now, I'm not here to tell you today that you've married the wrong person and throw your marriage away, divorce them. No, you've married that person, you stick your marriage out. And I love Peter's advice. He says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your life. And I know a couple here in this house today. I'm not going to embarrass them. But he became a Christian recently because of his wife's reverence for God. It works. But I'm here to tell you today, young people, please do not marry an unbeliever. If you come to me and ask me to marry, the first question I'm going to ask is, are they a Christian? Are they following Christ? Is there fruit in their life? Are they obeying the Lord? Not just talking it, are they walking it? Very important. Thirdly, when it comes to choosing, making wise choices, I think we need to be careful what we watch and what we listen to. I don't have to tell you all the garbage that's on the internet, all the things that are out there. We need to be careful and choose carefully with what and whom we fellowship. So what are some ways we can improve our fellowship as we close up today? This one, I think, is one of the most important ones, and it's our speech, our words, what we say to our people. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Are you building people up here? When they come in this place, do you realize the people that you talk to may have had a very rough day? They may have had a bad week. They may have a bad year. And I find it amazing that often people will go to church to find some hope, to find some encouragement, and all they hear is, how's the weather? How's the game? You know, and it never gets past edification. Edification is simply building up. And we build up by encouraging. I appreciate all the hard work that you're doing in your ministry. I appreciate you as a person. I want you to know I'm praying for you. That's what we do when we edify. We encourage. Unwholesome talk is tearing down, gossiping, talking bad about people behind their backs. That tears people down. And that's, by the way, one of the reasons why people don't talk about their lives. They're afraid of the gossip. Shame on us. Shame on us when we do that. Another way to improve our fellowship is to share our burdens. And I think I've made that very clear today, the importance of sharing what you're wrestling with this week. Oh, people won't care what I'm... Yes, they will. Anybody in this room, you go up to them and say, I'm struggling, I need some prayer, they're not going to say, well, have a nice day. They're going to talk to you. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. Carry them. That means you've got to share them to carry them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. You know, when people lose a loved one, you mourn with that person. You rejoice when there is success in their lives. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And I know the elders emphasize this so much here, and you need to continue to hear it, that they are available to you 24/7. They want you. The numbers and the emails are in the bulletin. Call, come talk to us after church. Don't walk out of here struggling with something. Come talk to us. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. Another way to improve our fellowship is to confess our sins. And this is, I'm not talking about publicly, I'm talking about privately. There's only a few times that you probably should confess a sin publicly, and that is if it has been done in a public way, like adultery or something like that. But when we confess our sins one to another, it's to a friend, to somebody I know, to a brother or sister. James says, if we confess our sins to each other and pray for each other, we're going to be healed. He's not talking about physical healing, I think, as much as he's talking about spiritual healing. Because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Confessing our sins. And obviously, one of the best ways to improve fellowship is to spend quality time together. I know our lives are so busy. We can do so much. But let's seek to spend more quality time. Come to the house. Small groups, this is why the importance of having small groups. I say this with love, and please don't misunderstand me, okay? I realize some people, the sermon ends and they are out the door, okay? Now, I understand people have commitments from time to time. They got to go. They got plans with family or to do something, and that's, I understand that. But can I be real for you with a minute? If you do it every week and you consistently never talk to anybody here, never spend time with anybody here, never come in here to uplift anybody, you're being selfish. You're treating church just like a gas station, what you can get out of it instead of what you can give. And I love you, and I'm going to tell you the truth, because I care. But fellowship will not happen until you, and no, if anybody leaves here early today, please don't judge them, okay? They have to get out of here. We're not watching you, okay? No worries. What I'm talking about is it's a continuous habit. There's still people in this church I don't know. That bothers me. I don't know what your name is. You need to come up and introduce yourself to me today. You say, well, I got to get home to my family. I got to do stuff with my family. This is your family too. And this family needs you too. They may need you to say something to encourage them this week. Because we all have enough problems and struggles with life. We need somebody to encourage us. So let's, fellowship is sharing our lives, yeah. It involves edifying speech, yeah. Transparency, sharing the burdens, confessing, praying, yeah. All those things are important. But I want to challenge you today to not leave this without seeking to encourage somebody. And this is how we're going to do it. I love Paul's statement here. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's a blessing he leaves, and that's the blessing I leave with you today. But I'd like for everybody right now, okay, I know you may feel uncomfortable with this. Look at these guys already standing up. You're not uncomfortable with it. 3 minutes. Let's encourage someone. Go up to them and say how much you appreciate them.